You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
7 minutes after 9 South African time. It's a beautiful evening, beautiful night. Yes, it is the Q&A with myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hati, and our beloved senior ustad, Hazrat Malana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain, Hafidhahullah. 0847863132. That's our WhatsApp number. International overseas listeners, +2784786313. Once again, let's welcome the listeners of Al-Ansar International, the listeners of Sirius FM, and of course, the listeners of Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Somebody says, Ustad, that I'm buying stuff and selling it online, and the cost is 250, and I'm selling it for 550. Is it halal, Ustad?
If you're buying something, whether you buy from a merchant or online or whatever, and it's halal, and 250, and you are selling for 500, 550, they ask Mustafa, Habibuna, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they're the beloved students, companions of Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sa'ir lana, ya Rasulullah. You determine for us a profit margin. Mustafa, Habibuna, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Inna Allah Musa'ir. No, Allah makes the prices. So yes, it's permissible. But if it's food stuff, then you must not make it so expensive that you're exploiting the people. That's wrong. But remember, if there is abundance of that, is willing buyer, willing seller principle. So that's fine, acceptable in Islam, no problem.
If an elderly mother who is in her 80s, Ustad, has only one married son, one married daughter, then who must the mother stay as she needs physical assistance to do things? Who must financially support her, Ustad?
All the financial expenses must be paid by the son. And remember that the daughter, if she's married to a very good person, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala make his heart soft. That is the time dua lutna here. That is the time that you must take the dua. She is over 80, and what khidmat the daughter can make, the service the daughter can render, nobody can do that. So if the husband, the son-in-law, he allows, remember, and then she goes there, that will be excellent. It happened to us. MashaAllah, you must remember, I told my wife, I said, you got 10 brothers with due respect to them, and now 5 passed away, 5 are alive, Allah give them Jannatul Firdaus. Nobody is going to make khidmat of your mother like how you can make as a daughter. So you call your mother, yeah, and she was blind. So MashaAllah, she stayed here by us, she passed away here by us, Allah give Jannatul Firdaus. So remember, you also have to use your common sense, you know, in a case like that. And every day, I should tell a mother, I have to call her Masi. I say, Masi, you must give me kiraya. You must pay me rental here. So she said, how much I must pay? I say, every day you must read 2 rakat namaz for me. So see, so where you will get all these duas and all these type of things there? So you, son-in-law, keep your heart a little bit big and tell your wife, oh darling, bring your mother here, we will make khidmat. And you, son, you say, all the expenses I will pay. So you must give your brother-in-law a lot of stuff also. So like that, you know, when you have understanding, then you can do a lot of things. Jiska zarf bara ho, Allah in kubara bana deta. Keep a little big heart, Allah will elevate you.
Ustad, let's go to falseness. Listener says, can nikah be performed if the bride is menstruating? Ustad, anonymous.
So that's why, my brother, before you get married, you must tell the wife-to-be to make the date. Otherwise, what's going to happen, that when you get married, then you will find red flag, you will find red robot, you understood? Then you'll be disappointed. So all you youngsters, you must remember, say, tell your future father-in-law, mother-in-law, that better you sort the date, then they know what to do and all this kind of thing. But you insist, no, must be this week, then all this kind of thing. Unforeseen circumstances, nikah is valid, no problem. The ladies are asking me 2-3 questions like you can't believe. That one, that the takbir we are reading, is it compulsory upon ladies in menses to read? No, it's not compulsory. Because you're not reading salah, so the takbir also falls away. His sakit is waved off. The lady writes, I am in menses, but I'm making kurbani. I know how to slaughter. Is the kurbani valid? Yes, the kurbani is valid. So you getting married and your wife got red flag, alhamdulillah, your nikah is valid, but no hanky-panky business. So you must remember, all you young guys and old mamotas also, so you must remember, when your wife is in menses, then from the navel to the knees, that portion must be covered. You can't touch skin to skin and so forth. Ma fawqal izar. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hadith Abu Dawood. Quran Kareem speaks of this, Surah 2, verse 2:2:2. Qul huwa adha. Tell them this man says is napaki, impure. Fa'tazilun nisa fil mahid. Stay separate, stay separate. Don't mean you have to go in a separate room. You can sleep with your wife. Wa la taqrabu hunna hatta yadhurna. They don't go and fulfill conjugal rights till they are clean. For idha tatwaharna. See the words, the balagha, the rhetoric, the beauty, glory, style, diction of the noble Quran. Kathratul huruf tadullu ala kathratil ma'ani. So when you take your first ghusl properly, you must wash yourself thoroughly, properly, O lady. So in a case like that, now you are pure and clean, then your husbands go fa'atuhunna min haythu amarakumullah. So then you go and fulfill your conjugal. She'll come out of the bathroom and your husband, wife, you fulfill conjugal right, then she go back in the bathroom. Wa in kuntum junuban fatwaharu. First time was hayz, that finish, and second time is junub. So the conjugal relationship took place, and so now husband, wife, both have to take compulsory bath. That is what is meant.
Ustad, a person forgets to recite the takbir tashrik immediately after the farad salah, and he or she only remembers after making dua, but before moving away from the place of salah.
It's fine. Remember, you read it then, no problem. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa usaha. Allah did not burden any person more than his or her ability, capacity, capability. Why is insan called insan? Al-insanu nisyan. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved, the most precious, in the entire universe and creation, to Almighty Allah. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is performing salat, zuhur salat, asr salat. After two rakats, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made salam. And then Sahaba said, Zul Yadain, he had long hands. Aqusirat is salatu am nasita ya Rasulallah. Is salat become shortened or you forgot ya Nabiullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgot. So we all forget. You must remember these type of things. So yes, by Almighty Allah, wa ma kana rabbuka nasiya. Your Allah, he never ever forgets. Therefore we say subhanallah. Allah. Allah is more perfect than the word perfect. He transcends every weakness, every shortcoming, every defect. That is Allah. More perfect than everybody, everything else put together also.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody wants to know, Ustad, from Mayfair West, is it a sunnah practice to eat Qurbani meat for the 3 days, that is the 10th, 11th, the 12th of Dhul Hijjah, Ustad?
It's not for you must eat or sunnah and that, but it's good. So we will say the sunnah is this. You may eat on Friday, Saturday, whatever the case is. So you read your Eid Salat. Thereafter, you must remember you want to slaughter your animal, your Qurbani animal. Thereafter, you cook the kaleji. I discussed this issue with my wife, you know. She said, you know why kaleji? I said, why? It says cook very quickly. I say, subhanallah, the woman, they can teach us a lot of things, you know. So now when you cook that kaleji, that kabit, that liver, so then you partake of that. That is sunnah. Now for these days, what must you, brother in Mayfair? Kulu wa atimu wa dakhiru. You eat, it's fine. So that also can be considered. You must remember a good act, but you can't say it is now sunnah. You must only eat from there. You can eat from other food also. And what, yesterday we had breakfast there by Mufti Rizal Haq Sahib, the Qurbani meat was there, but me, I don't eat all that. I just eat my things, you understood? So I don't eat all these things here, you must remember. So anyway, I just eat my egg and finish it klar. So anyway, you must remember, kulu, you eat, wa atimu, and you feed others. And what dakhiru, you want to make biltong and all these things here. So mashallah, you store it, and it's fine, no problem.
I'm also like you, Ustad. We don't eat kaleji in that, Ustad.
Oh, I eat kaleji, alhamdulillah.
A person was unconscious, Ustad, for more than 5 salahs. Does he have to make qada for the most salahs during that state? If there is no qada, does he have to give fidya, Ustad?
If that person, you must remember, was unconscious in a coma, whole 5 salats went, 6 salats started, the time, everything, then remember, there's no qaza, there's no ada, there's no fidya, there's no nothing, he's marfu ul qalam. So in a case like that, you don't have to pay anything. People are in coma for years and years sometimes. So all that salat will be sakit and waved off.
Ustad, my daughter has eloped. She's 22 years old. She came back home after 1.5 weeks and telling us that she has made nikah with the boy and then Alim performed the nikah. And she says that she's also pregnant to start. What do I do as a concerned mother? Do I throw her out of our lives? And my husband says she's out of our will. Anonymous concerned mother, Ustad.
What's the sense, you, my mother, my father, now you want to disown her, now you want to do all this? Let us be honest, I don't know you, I don't know the Maulana also, I don't know how he performed the nikah, but anyway. So you must remember, we need to be realistic on these issues. Therefore, I repeat this 100 times. You are the one, as a parent, you gave your daughter so much freedom. You are the one, you gave them so much money. Who sent them to university? Who sent them to college? No, we must be broad-minded. Yes, Maulvis just talk from their own toes and all that, you see? So we speaking like this. Now when all the damage takes place, now you say, no, we'll fix her up. No, but who we have to fix up? The daughter or the parents? I'm asking you. You be honest. So you more to blame than your daughter? Because you gave her all that freedom. How can our daughter go and elope, get pregnant? She was pregnant before the nikah. And that's the story they sold to the Maulana. And the Maulana said, come, let me just perform your nikah. Maybe they gave him some money also. So you must remember this type of thing. Let us be realistic. We're not living in some cocoon world. We're living in the real world. So look at the sequence of events. You gave freedom. You gave money. She eloped. She got pregnant. They went to the Maulana. She came back after 1.5 weeks. Father say you disowned. So everybody doing a haram. So remember that you have to face the reality. The reality is this. Tell your daughter, sit down. Tell that son-in-law, sit down. I, as a father, I'm wrong. I apologize. And remember, when you apologize and ask maaf, then Allah will make you maaf also if you're sincere.
Haq.
So number one. And you, mother, you also, you have to ask Allah and cry. Second one, tell your daughter and your son that nikah is null and void. And tell them now we giving permission, go re-perform that nikah. Then the child is a harami child. Remember, the child's lineage will go to the mother. That is the verdict according to the Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbalis. An-ni'matu la tanalu bil mahzur. So that child can, the lineage will not go to the father. Hanafis will say that in a case like that, we will look at time of nikah, the second nikah. Now the first one is null and void. So remember that now when you give permission, then we will look at date of nikah till the date of delivery. If it's 6 months or more, then Imam Abu Hanifa says that fine, the lineage will go to the father. If it's less than 6 months, then Hanafi school also tells you, it's harami child, the lineage will go to mother. Your father, mother cannot disown your daughter, you go straight to hell. You are the problem, not then comes the problem of the daughter. Quran Kareem states, Surah 4, verse 14, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ. Whoever disobeys Almighty Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and goes beyond the limits, you disown this one and increase this one, you do things unilaterally, يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا. Allah dispatches you to Jahannam for a long, long period. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. So this is the sequence events. You all have to make sincere tawbah. You all have to perform, make sincere tawbah, re-perform that nikah, and don't go for that Maulana, the crooked Maulana who made the nikah first time. So you go to somebody else, and remember that. Therefore, I tell you, you can't perform any nikah without the permission of your father. And then the next one is this, that what you do is, you include your daughter in the world. And that child is harami child, according to majority scholars, Hanafis, I gave you the details. So that is what you have to do. When these type of incidents take place, our emotions get the better of us, and then we do all upside down things.
Well, a person who passes away as a musafir, Ustad, attained the status of a shaheed. And what is the virtue of death away from one's hometown, Ustad?
You must remember which type of journey he went for. If he went out in the path of Allah, Dawah, Tabligh, he went out to go study, he went out for Hajj, for Umrah, he went out for a good purpose, inshallah, he will get the reward of Shahadat. He's going to see soccer match, he's going to see cricket match, he's going to meet his mistress. He told his wife he's going to do China, he's going to China for business, but he meet his girlfriend. So all these kind of things we know about. So then what shahadat is going to get? So no shahadat then. So the journey, you know, according to Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad and them, when people undertake haram journey, they can't even read 2 rakat salat. And ni'matullah tanalu bil mahzur. People going for soccer match, we want to see Wembley for World Cup final and this final and all. So you can't even make qasr salat according to Shafi's and Ambali's and them. You can't even make jama'ah baina salatain, you can't combine salat. So people, you must understand what Islam is teaching us. Yes, Hanafis allow it, you make qasr. But remember, not Shafis in them. So it all depends on which type of journey we are speaking about. And yes, if you pass away al-hurba. Hurba means in a country where you are a musafir, you're a stranger and so forth. So remember from your hometown to where you are, that amount of place Allah will give you in Jannat as well, provided that you passed away with Iman and Islam.
Sister from Perth says, Mufti Saab, when will Mufti Saab or Maulana Hatia come to Australia? Maybe inshallah after the lockdown, if we invite you all, inshallah, the team of Markaz for a program, Ustad. Sister from Perth, Ustad.
You listening to the program, what we have to come there? I went to Australia once. So when I went there to the embassy, they asked me so many questions, you know. So I just give up now with all these countries where they got so many stories, you know. So I said, rather keep your country. Me, I don't want to visit. Finish, end of the story. I'm very candid about this. Jazakallah khair. Where they want, you must come for interview. You must answer this, answer that. Rather we stay away and jazakallah khair.
I've never been there, Ustad.
Yeah, we take Maulana Arafat,
inshallah. Ustad, we go to, this is Dubai. It says the Mufti Saab inheritance. My wife's father passed away last month, leaving 4 daughters, wife and 2 brothers. The brothers have forfeited their rights to the inheritance. How do we divide the essence, Ustad?
Okay, the father passed away, so for the wife, his husband to wife, so husband passed away, so he left, you must remember, a wife 12.5%. Then you must remember his 4 daughters and his 2 sons, so the remainder of the 87.5%, so in that case there, you will make now, you got 4 daughters and 2 sons, so you will make 8 shares there. So 8 shares how? So 2-2 for the sons and 1-1 each, you must remember.
2 brothers.
Yeah, so 2 brothers, sons it is, or 2 brothers?
Leaving 4 daughters, wife and 2 brothers.
Yeah, so if it is 2 brothers, that is the brothers of the deceased, so then the masla will change. So let me give it both ways, so we clear then. So you must remember, our people sometimes they use the word brother for son also when they speak like this. So I'm giving it both ways. So if the wife, you must remember, is there 12.5%, then the daughters are there and the 2 sons. I'm just giving it that way first. So remember, you make 8 shares. 4 shares for the daughters, 1-1 each. And the 2 sons, you must remember, that will be that they 2-2 shares. So that is the remainder residue will go to them. If it is wife, and you must remember 4 daughters, and the mayyit 2 brothers, then it will work like this, that remember, the wife will get 12.5%, and then remember, the second one will be the daughters 2/3, and then the remainder will go to the 2 brothers. They take their share and then they say, fine, we will give it to our sister or we will give it to our nieces. So that is their prerogative. There's no problem with that.
Ustad, somebody says, is it okay for the wife to live in Cape Town and the husband to live in Johannesburg and then travel occasionally to see her, Ustad?
And then the children are away in Johannesburg. So you must remember that wife in Cape Town, Table Mountain, and husband there by the beach in Cape Town, in Durban. So which kind of life is that? So you must remember you're asking for trouble. So remember you, the husband, you find one nice girl there by the beach, then one thing will lead to another. Wife will find somebody there, and don't tell me these things are not happening. So these are all abnormal situations. It's not permissible, this. You, husband, wife, you must live together. Yes, if it's a temporary thing, you have to go for Umrah, you have to go for Hajj, you have to go for business 1 week, 1 month. But permanently, then you're going to meet. You can't even travel now. How are you going to go? So you must remember these type of things here. So and the flights and all that is not easy. So all this definitely unacceptable, not permissible. You must live together. Hunna libasul lakum. One antum libasul lahun. You have to touch one another. You have to embrace one another. You have to feel the body heat, brother. So all that is Islam. That is what Islam is teaching.
Ustaz, I wanted to find out, when doing qurbani for the very, very first time, do we do it on our name or on our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name? Please advise, Ustaz.
First, whenever qurbani is wajib, compulsory upon you, especially Hanafi school, you do on your name. Then another animal, goat, sheep, whatever, or one shay in a cow, that will be nafil, voluntary, that you do for Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, I slaughtered three. So what I did, first one for me, second one for my wife, third one for Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the entire ummah. I tell you, Mawlana Arafat, I made qurbani for you. So he's right. So I included the entire ummah from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam right till the last day. So the Muslim will be born and pass away. So you must remember, that is very good. But that must be done after you have done your own. So always don't mix, don't make qalb mawzu. It's like reading that witr salat and then you want to make isha salat. No. You have to first worry about yourself in qurbani, and then you do the nafil one for the deceased, for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the deceased and so forth.
Let's go to KZN. Move this up. I caught my aged mother with muti. I confronted her and she says she's only trying to help us to get our lives on track. She doesn't want to understand, Ustad. How do we undo the damage caused? Anonymous, Ustad.
People, you don't understand this term muti. Muti is sihr, is jadu, is magic, witchcraft. Is totally haram in Islam. Is not a sagira, a minor sin. Is not a kabira, a major sin. It is akbarul kabair, the worst of crimes that a person can commit. Therefore, Imam Malik says, people who go and get involved in witchcraft, they're out of the fold of Islam. And if you look at the dalail he gives, Imam Malik was a genius. Wama kafara Sulaiman. The people used to make propaganda. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, remember what he's doing? That he's running this massive, magnificent kingdom with jadu, with sihr. And Allah says, Wama kafara Sulaiman. He never committed kufr. Allah jalla wala in the city of Babylon, Babil. We went there also in Iraq. So, innama nahnu fitnatun. Fala takfur. See again takfur. So we are sent here as a trial. If you want to learn the discipline, the science of jadu, witchcraft and all these things here, then you will have to commit kufr first and enter. So see, you have to tell your mother, you go in this field here, dabbling in witchcraft and muti and all, there is fear. You will die without iman, without Islam. We say she's Muslim, but she is skating on thin ice. So all that you have to explain to her.
29 minutes to 10 o'clock. We go, inshallah, for an ad break. When we come back, we will, inshallah, continue with the Q&A. Stay tuned.
You're listening to a Marcus Sahaba online radio podcast.
27 minutes to 10. A listener says, Ustad, I own a few properties and recently I was approached by a restaurant owner who is not a Muslim, Ustad. Should I agree to rent my premises out to him, Ustad? Your advice?
Remember, if you're going to rent out your property to him for restaurant, he will have wine, he will have swine, your income is tainted, polluted, contaminated. Quran Kareem teaches us, Surah 5, verse number 2, وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْأُدْوَانِ. Do not cooperate in sin and transgression, hence not permissible.
Somebody says, I am 30 weeks pregnant, Muftisab, inshallah, the baby is due, of course, anytime, inshallah. Please, can you advise me Islamically? What should a woman do when she misses her fast? What must I do? Please advise me, Ustad.
Three questions here. Number one, you are pregnant, mashallah, and you're coming to the ending of your term. You and your husband, both of you, should be reading the following verses. Number one, you should be reading chapter 37, Surah Safat, just after Surah Yasin, verse 100. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. See, Eid came, Qurbani came, all that finished now. So remember, in a case like this is the dua, Khalilullah, Allah, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam read, he cried, he begged, he petitioned Allah. Chapter 37, verse 100, Rabbi Habli Mina Salihin. Oh, beloved Allah, grant me pious children and offspring. So read that abundantly. So that's number one. Then number two, you must remember, is now you're nearing your term. You call it labor pains. So which verse you're going to read? So that also becomes easy. Surah chapter 21, verse 30. أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَا رَتْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا. Allah Jalla Wala created the heavens and the earth. They were stuck together. And then Allah Ta'ala separated it. Your fetus, your unborn baby, Janin in Arabic we say, أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ, Quran says. So anyway, that now the fetus is there by you. And now Allah will separate mother and child, mother and daughter, mother and son. So read Surah 21 verse 30. So the labor process becomes easy also. Third one, regarding your fasting that you must, so Ramadan and so forth, so Qadha is compulsory. Fidya will not compensate. Your 30 rand per fast will not compensate. So after your nifas and everything, so now you will be breastfeeding and mashallah, then you will go to your nifas, your postnatal, when all that is finished, then once a week, once a 2 weeks, once a month or so, to keep 2-3 fast, and qadha is compulsory upon you. Payment will not suffice.
The brother says, Ya Ustad, my name is Umar. We've got robbed so far in this year 2020 four times, and they broke into our house about six times. So he's saying, Ustad, that we have planned, inshallah, to move to America. We have read istikhara, but the istikhara is not coming out clear. What should I do, Ustad?
So what you think in America, you won't get robbed. What you think in America, you won't all this. So I don't agree with these type of things there. So what you should do is, you must ask yourself 4 or 5 questions. The area you are living, is it notorious? Is this happening only to you or every second, third person in that area? So move your area. If it's happening only to you, so ask yourself these 2-3 questions. Are you reading Salat regularly? Are you giving your zakat regularly and properly? Third one, are you giving any charity? So we need to do some self-introspection. We need to look at and take some x-raying of ourselves. Remember, that is what Islam teaches us. This business that I'm to run away to America and Australia and New Zealand and Canada, that it don't Islamically it don't work, my brother. You must remember these things here. That everywhere, yes, the proportion of crime in South Africa is beyond perception. That is 100%. But that's not the solution to the problem. The solution is what I'm telling you. Everyone should look at. See, I give you a hadith, beautiful hadith. Is mentioned in Marasil of Imam Abu Dawood. 3 parts to it. Dawu mardakum bis sadaqah. People are ill and sick. They themselves must give charity. Sometimes the person is so sick, he can't move or properly, not mobile. You, the family, give out on his or her behalf. I know this one is sick, so we take out 1 rand, 2 rand, 5 rand, according to our means, so you give out. Ya Allah, this person, yeah, I love him. I have so much time for him. You give shifa. So number one. وَاسْتَقْبِلُوا أَمْوَاجَ الْبَلَاءِ بِالدُّعَاءِ وَالتَّدَرُّ. And when the amwaj, you are in Durban, my brother, I think. So you look at your ocean. I was there and I looked at the ocean. Ya Allah, what a magnificent ocean you are giving us. And we see the waves. So sometime in life you have amwaj al-bala, left, right, center, everywhere you're getting knocked. This calamity, robbed by the house, robbed by the shop, then somebody falls ill and so many things happen. Then somebody wants to hijack your car, Allah forbid. So turn to Allah with dua, with dua and crying, begging, petition. That is what Allah wants. Allah. Because when we fly too high. So Allah brings us down. You have to become my servant and not Abdul Hawa. Don't become the servant of your whims and fancies and desires. Third one, what Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this has to do with you now. وَحَسِّنُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بِالزَّكَاةِ And protect your wealth and property. You know, the brother was telling us 100 million, 50 million. So remember one other option for you, brother. You can sell your properties also and turn it into cash. Simple thing. So anyway, وَحَسِّنُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بِالزَّكَاةِ So you protect your wealth by the payment of zakat. So you need to take a good look at yourself and your family. Dad, the wife got 100,000 jewelry but never paid zakat for 10, 20 years. You got so much. Allah alone knows. So all this year. So when things happen, we have to do some introspection and self-searching, my brother. That is what Islam is teaching. Go America, go, yeah, you won't find a masjid, then what you going to do? You go America, you don't find madrasa, the children become murtad, then what you do? I was in America 2000, twice I went to America. So I spent there 6-7 weeks. So we visited all this White House and United Nations and all the stories. So anyway, those eat, they pack, the media and everybody there, you know, American style. So anyway, I took out my hanky. Like this. And I told them, this is your American passport. Arabs, Pakistanis, every second, third person is a doctor. That area I went, Hagerstown, Maryland. So all specialists, top shot specialists, you know. So they offered me, I don't know how many $1,000. I told them, I'm going home, I'm not staying here. So anyway, you must remember, I took out my hanky. I told them, you see, this is your American passport. I am here for 5-6 weeks. I'm studying, observing your children. Your children went to madrasa twice or thrice in the past 6 weeks. I'm asking you, do you really believe in this? And this is before 9/11. This is 2000. So in this hostile environment, have you given enough to your children to protect their Islamic identity? I'm asking you. You are the top shot palmologist and either zoologist and this ologist and this ologist and this ologist, cardiologist and oncologist. Every guy got so ologist. I said the only person I never met is a zoologist. So this type of thing. So I'm asking you, 2-3 doctors came, they were crying. They said 100% is the truth. We made a mess of our life. But you go to their houses, subhanallah. You look at their 4-4 garages and one Buick there and one Mercedes there and one this. So they went for dunya, they got dunya, but your child is a perfect candidate for murtad. He's going to leave Islam. So what good is that, brother? So remember that you're making him a perfect candidate to leave Islam. I said, you better get straight, all of you. Remember, otherwise, your children, I can write it down for you now, 50% will leave Islam. So what good? You made millions of dollars, but your children became, from Suleiman, it became Tom, Dick and Harry. Your daughter, Jamila, became Mary. So what good is that? I'm asking you. So that was my Eid lecture 2000 there. So remember, for this passport, don't go. I get many offers, you know. We don't. Islam is not for sale. We mustn't become for sale. Say, I will stay in my place and become an asset to humanity. That's my advice to you.
SubhanAllah. See, Brother Umar says, Ustad, that he is from Durban and he's asking for maaf. He says, my appa, my wife says, ask Mufti Saab. He says, why is this happening to me? He says, Mufti Saab, my entire life I was in riba. I was living in riba, but of course, 2017 I cleared myself and now I'm 3 years clean. But why is Allah still testing you, Ustad?
There you gave the answer yourself, my brother. So I don't take no offense, brother. From my heart, I don't know you, Umar and Appa and this one. I just give you from my heart. This is my advice to you. When you get involved in riba, so many years you were flying, overdraft, this. So what you were doing? So you must remember, Quran says, Surah 2, verse 279, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْأَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ You're making war against Allah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many people may be, you did not settle the accounts properly. How many people we just made certain. So us, you have to go back to all those things here. It's not you look at the present, you have to look at the past. So sometimes people think, yeah, but I'm clean now. But what about the past? You must remember, maybe I did that guy down, I did this guy. I'm not saying you did, but the possibility, the potential is always there. So always keep a clean record, my brother. So Allah, and you're staying in some area, Allah alone knows, get safety guards, get cameras, get this, all that is permissible, no problem.
Who said if a person has a game farm with kudus, ostrich. Can we do kurbani with it, Ustad?
Oh, you must remember that it must be an arm. Kurbani is finished now. Yeah? You can't do any kurbani. The only person who allows kurbani on the 13th of Zulhijjah is Al-Imam Shafi'i. So remember, kurbani days, Hanafis, Malikis, Hanbalis is 10th, 11th, 12th. So that is finished now. And 13th, remember, only Imam Shafi'i allows. Al-Masailu Lati Infarada Biha Shafi'i Duna Ikhwati. So we don't pass the fatwa on that. We pass the fatwa on majority. So remember that. So we'll say kurbani. And the animals you slaughter are an arm. So an arm will be goat, sheep, camel, and cow family. So that is what you must do. If you go Makkah, Medina, you will see some restaurants called kudu.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked one, two of the Arab guys, what's the meaning of this kudu? So they looked at me that this guy was a preacher. So I said, come, I teach you what the meaning of kudu. So they say, what? I say, you see, this brother who's the owner of this, he came to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Now these Arab brothers, when they come, they just shoot. You know, whatever comes, move, they just shoot. You must ask this guy, they'll tell you. So they shoot. So this guy shot a kudu and this type of things here. Yeah. When he shot the kudu, you see, oh. So thus now I'm going to keep the name kudu of my restaurant and all this. So that's how they, Makkah, Medina, you find the kudu branches, remember.
So how can I soften a hard heart and remove pride from my heart to start anonymous?
You have to do a lot of things in life. Number one is this, you pick up everybody's shoes. When you go masjid, go make everybody's shoes straight.
Mm.
Number two is this, that remember, you ask Almighty Allah Jalla Wala that give that heart to me so I can spend on others. When you go, it's very easy to get a Bosnian child and Palestinian child, all white, white in color, green, green eyes and blonde, blonde hair. Your own maid that's coming to your house. When last did you put your hand on her son? Did you think about that? Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, a sahabi came. He said, hadith in Tirmidhi, Inni ajidu fi qalbi al-qaswa ya Rasulallah. My heart is gone hard. I sit there, but still my heart is not melting. I can't cry also. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for prophetic advice, two prophetic prescriptions. Imsah yadaka ala ra'asil yateem. Go there where the yatama are, the orphans are, small, small children, put your hand. Now what we will do, me and you, we will look for the handsome guy and put our hand there. No, you look for that child. You can see the sadness in their eyes, downtrodden, and it's not also coming out from his nose. You know the mucus. And like that, you go and do this. Go put there, go help him. Then the pride will come out. And go help the poor. Wa'at imil masaki. No EFT business. Just transfer. No, that is. You go there to the township. You go there to the poor yourself. And go give them. Become the khadim then. Then see, everything will break. So that is what we have to learn, brother. Makkah. Why Makkah? Makkah, we all muster somebody. Makkah means to break us. And it will become muster nobody. So you are saying you came for Hajj, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Now show me how devoted, dedicated you are. You're sleeping in 5-star hotel, 6-star hotel. Now go sleep on the land and sand in Mustalifah. For the love of Allah. That is Islam. So my brother, that is what we all have to do. Allah give tawfiq.
13 minutes to 10 o'clock. Brother Umar wants to know, Ustad, how should he get the daily nasiha? And he says his apa wants to maybe move to China because it's safe there where you're staying, Ustad.
Just try. I tell you, it's safe. And first week you get burglary, then it will be safe. So make istikhara, brother, inshallah. Ameen. Umar, so this time, ask Allah, leave your medical stories and all that. My advice, read Allahumma khirli wakhtarli, and Allah will open up. If you seem very, very concerned, sincere, and remember, Allah will make easy for you. My nasiha and all that, you can get it 2-3 ways. You go to my Twitter handle, Twitter account, at AK Hussein, AKHOOSEN. And second one, you go to the website Mufti MuftiAKHussein.net. And I must thank my brother Moana Ahmad Dokrat Hafidullah, mashallah, it's his initiative. So for years now it's going on. Allah reward him also. And mashallah, we go on now to telegram all the brothers, sisters who are helping Salahuddin. So mashallah, Salahuddin is the main guy. So Salahuddin is helping us now.
Ameen.
So you must see Allah. Allah, he sends some farishtas always, you know. So I was in a jail, so Salahuddin said, I'll help you out. That's very good. Who Salahuddin? I don't know. So you must remember that. So Salahuddin say, come, I help you out. I see you stuck. So Allah rewards Salahuddin and his whole family. Allah make them all, mashallah, maqbool. So in that way there, you must remember. So you go to telegram. And then, so if you can't, just write my number down, Umar. 071-888-1184. Send me message. Don't make long stories here. Just write telegram and then we'll sort it out, inshallah.
To Brother Salahuddin, Ameen, Ameen, Thumma Ameen. Ustaz, let's go to Kimberly. Muftis up, I made dua to marry a certain man. I later read istikhara to seek guidance. But another man from the same family unexpectedly came to propose. Was the answer to the istikhara the second man coming? Anonymous TT. Kimberly Ustad.
Anonymous TT from Kimberly, mashallah, the holy city of Kimberly. Holy, H-O-L-E, got a big diamond hole there.
Subhanallah.
So the TT means in Afrikaans for the woman, you know. So ek puldo mali. So one flower and two people. You wanted Abu Bakr, but Umar came. Or you wanted Umar and Abu Bakr came.
Subhanallah.
So, mashallah, you are happy and she is happy and your father is happy. Make nikah, finish, end of the story.
Ustad, what dua can one read to avoid, it says, a procrastination, Ustad?
You must remember, dua alone don't work. Procrastination, delay, at-taswifu min ash-shaytan. Certain things in Islam, we have to make ta'ajil, make haste. One tawbah, we have to make haste. Salat, we have to make haste. Not so far, then delay, make khaza. It's haram that. Third one, payment of debts. You have to pay immediately, not delay and all. Fourth one, well, it must be done immediately. Fourth one, you must remember that people not speaking to one another, cut off ties, severing ties. You have to sort that out immediately. So many examples you can give. So in Islam, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ سَارِئُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ. All the good deeds rush towards it. And that is what Islam is teaching.
Somebody says, Ustad, most of the times when I read Quran, it often falls off from my hands. What is the readily cause of this act, Ustad? Is it from shaitan or is it just a mere act?
Remember that, why don't you read Quran Sharif and you put the tipai, you put the bench, they call it khashab. So you must remember, you get that Quranic stand, you put it there and there's respect and so forth. You're reading Quran Sharif and you're half asleep. You're reading Quran Sharif with no concentration and therefore all this is happening. Therefore, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you are in that condition, then stop making dua also. Because instead of making dua, certain words might come out that become bad dua. You're asking Allah for forgiveness. By mistake, it will come out, Ya Allah, punish me. Allah forbid. So therefore, if that is happening, then that is the wrong time you are reading Quran. You must read Quran Sharif when you are chust and not when you are sust. So you must read Quran Sharif when you are active and awake, not when you are half sleepy and catching fish and all these type of things here. And make sure in future you always put that Quranic bench, you put the tipai, the bench there, and then you read. So the Quran don't fall. It can be a major sin that.
Let's go to Marlboro, Ustad. Is it permissible for people who come early to the masjid and sit in the first serve and when intending to leave the place for maybe about 30 seconds to leave a tasbih to prevent others from sitting? Dada, Ustad.
100%. You were first and then you felt thirsty or your huzu broke or whatever, you had to rush to toilet. So now in a case like that, you leave your topi, you leave your tasbih and you come back, that's fine. Khairu sufufi rijal awwaluha wa sharruha akhiruha. Hadith in Sahih Muslim. The best serve for the man is the one right in front and the worst serve for the man is right at the back. This you can't do. You must remember, you come there 12 o'clock, namaz is 1 o'clock, you don't sit nothing, you just leave your musalla there, put your tasbih and then you go away. Then you pitch up 5 to 1, that's not permissible. You were there, you were sitting there, everything, then you start the need, huzu broke or whatever, so then you come back, that's permissible, no problem with that.
Ustad Dada says from Marlboro, is it disrespectful to sit in the places of the masjid where the regular old musallis have been sitting for years? Ustad?
There's no reservation. One day in one masjid, yeah, I made announcement that one baji got very upset, somebody came and sat in his place. So you must remember, then I made announcement also the next salat or something. I said, see, this is Allah's house. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. Masjid don't belong to any family, any person, any trustee, nothing. It belongs to Allah. So there's no reservation here. So whoever comes first, remember, he's entitled to sit there. You know, this masjid here of ours, when I came here 2001, they used to have special musalla for muazzin, they used to have special musalla for second jamaat and all. I took all the musallas away. I said, put all this away. So you must remember this thing. There's no reservation. You must remember in Islam. Only person whose place will be reserved is the imam. So muazzin also is common sense that now he will come and all and give the iqamah. So, but you can't now say this is the place reserved for muazzin and nobody else can be there. That's not right. So you must remember that.
Subhanallah. Someone wants to know, Ustad, it says that can one wear sandals while making sa'i of Safa and Marwa, Ustad?
One day I was there, and I don't know which year and all that. So I saw this man, big white beard and all, and he's a sheikh, you know, and he's making sa'i, what he is, you understand, what his sandals. So when I see this, my heart really, you know, it gets very sad. So I tapped him, gave a hal, sheikh, sheikh, you know, ad-dinu an-nasiha, deen is advice. I want to give you some advice. So you look at me, you know, that this guy, not even an Arab, and some lalu panju guy, you know, small guy, you want to come tell me, you know. I said, sheikh, you see the sandals is not right. So he tell me, jib dalil. So give dalil, give evidence. I said, فَخْلَ عَنْ عَلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ تُوَى. That you must take out your sandals, O Nabi Musa alayhi salam. You are in a very, very sacred valley. He said, هَذَا لِشَرَائِ قَبْلِنَا. It's for the shariat before us, it's not for us. So I told him, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي. Allah Ta'ala guided them, we must follow them. Now he looks at me. I say, Sheikh, me and you, we can go into the debate. I ask you one question. You see all these people here, they're looking at you, and you're a big sheikh. You're walking here in the mas'ah. The place where you make tawaf is called mataf. The place where you make sa'i is called mas'ah. And you walking with sandals here. I don't say it's najis or napak. I give it to you. It's pak, it's clean, it's tahir. But these chefs here, they don't have worry about paki, napaki, all that. So they will go and say, Sheikh did it. So what you say? He said, ah, kalamul haq. This is truth what you are saying. There and then he took it out. So see, sometimes, and I told him, see, Sheikh, and for all, like, I must, you know, give you a lecture on this. وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. When you show respect to the symbols and the landmarks of Allah, our masjid, our Quran, to Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you don't show respect, then this is what happens. Allah takes it away from us. Therefore we cry, Ya Allah, Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik. Ya Allah, we beg you, Ya Allah, all these bounties you are recurring, showering upon us, don't snatch it away. But when we don't make qadr of it, we show disrespect, Allah takes it away. So you must remember, first thing when I meet these brothers putting their legs right in front of the Kaaba, I tap them slowly. Say, brother, I want to tell you something. They say, what? You know, sometimes they come across very like rude. I say, see, Quran say that whosoever so respect to the landmarks of Allah, Kaaba, Safa, Marwa, is all Sha'airullah. So it's a sign of taqwa, Surah 22, verse 32. I say, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man tafala tujah al qibla, whosoever spits your saliva in the direction of qibla, Ja'a yawm al qiyamah wa tafluhu bayna aynay, and that spit saliva will be on your forehead to disgrace that person. Authentic hadith in Sahih ibn Khuzaymah, wa sahahahu al albani, we tell them like that also. So you say, oh, this guy knows a little bit, you see. So some of them, they kiss me, some of them, they still shake their head, you know. Then they'll say, la, fi wajawun, my leg is paining and knee is paining. I say, bye, I'm just here to tell you this. So we must show respect. You can't be making tawaf there with your sandals and Safa Marwa with sandals, that same sandal, you go toilet, you go bathroom, you go yeah, there, all that. Yes, you got special type of sandal, you understood. And for the men, you know that the Ka'bain and all that has to be open. So the ankles and Hanafi say the metatarsal. So all this you take into consideration, that is different. But they're just making it like a park and walking around, definitely not permissible.
Ustad, let's go to Umslanga. It says, supposing her mahram drops the lady off to the masjid, or ladies only, ta'lim, and picks her up and she wears niqab and is appropriately dressed, Ustad, would this be permissible or not?
Not permissible. For what you must have ta'alim in a masjid? You have ta'alim in the house. So you must remember that. And today if you say, no, I want to attend the sheikh's lecture and this maulana or this imam or mufti. So you got Bilal receiver, you got other one technology. I'm speaking to you people in Australia listening in Perth and where. So you must remember that there's no excuse. The lady, you stay at home and you do ta'alim there, you do everything there. Today everything is going online. So what they say? Online. You say, I'm zooming. A lot of things going on today. So you do online, lady to lady or something like that. You don't have to come masjid. And then tomorrow you will say, no, I have to come masjid because I must my lesson and I'm in menses. So you see, from 1 to 2 to 3, where it will lead to. So big, big problems. You just stay at home.
So what can I read for my du'as to get accepted?
First thing, ask yourself, how's your income? Is your income halal? Second one, ask yourself what you are eating. You know, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. Sa'ad bin Waqqas, awwalu man rama sahman fi sabilillah. The first person to shoot an arrow in the path of Allah. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas, ana thalith Islam. I'm the third person to embrace, the third male to embrace Islam. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, ya Sa'ad, eat that which is halal and tayyiba. Allah will make you mustajabud da'awat. So today we want to eat anything, just halal sign, just halal sign, no tekana, is all, you understand, money making gimmicks and so forth. So then how the dua will get accepted? So ask your income, what you're eating, then your salat, then know how to make dua, first praise Allah, then read salawat, durood sharif, all that on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thereafter you beg Allah. How you beg Allah? Hadith Tirmidhi, idha sa'altumullah, when you beg Allah, wa antum muqinuna bil ijabah. You yourself must have conviction, Allah is accepting my du'as. Mm. Therefore, when we beg Allah, we don't say inshallah. Mm. When we make du'a, we don't say inshallah. Because we have conviction, my beloved Allah will accept my du'a. So that is the lesson we were to learn. And read Durood Sharif starting, ending after you praise Allah. And your du'as will be accepted, inshallah.
Ustaz, can we ask one more question from Mauritius, Ustaz?
Quickly.
It says here, Mufti Sahib, we are planning for Hajj, inshallah, next year. So say that if we do not make sa'i after tawaf al-qudum, do we have to make the sa'i after tawaf al-ziyara, and will this cover the sa'i of tawaf al-qudum? Ustaz, shukran.
Yes, you must remember, you saw all this on the TV. So the hajis that went this year, they took them to Taif. In Taif, the miqat is called Karnul Manazil. That is the old name. The new name is the Saylul Kabir. I fast in the haram there also. So with Allah's help. So from there, they brought them, they made Tawaful Qudum. And thereafter, you must remember, they made Sa'i. So they were performing Ifrad Hajj. So in a case like that, you, the person who's performing Ifrad Hajj, you got option, you can make your sa'i after tawaful qudum, or you make the sa'i after tawaful ziyara, tawaful ifada. But to be honest, my brother, sister from Mauritius, that is not going to work for you. When you come, you joining our group or other groups, 90% go to Medina first. Then you come to Makkah. Then you're going to make umrah. And for people coming first time, we normally tell them, make tamattu hajj. So in umrah, you're going to make tawaf, and then your 2 rakat salat, and then sa'i, and then you shave your hair, cut your hair. And thereafter, you go into your normal clothes. Then you will be in Makkah, Aziziyah, you will fasten ihram again, and then you will go for hajj. So remember, that won't apply to you. When you make ifrad hajj, you have to stay in ihram all the time. And to stay in ihram for a first time haji is very difficult. So therefore, just forget that, it won't happen like that. You must look at the notes of tamattu hajj, brother. That is the best for you.
Ustaz, that brings us to the end of the program, inshallah. Any few announcements, Ustaz?
See, inshallah, first of all, after the program, we thank our brother Lukolo, yeah, our engineer. Then first, we will listen to my brother Hafiz Yusuf Kala with his golden voice. And thereafter, inshallah, to Mufti Taqi Usmani, Alam Barzakh. When a person dies, then he enters a new realm. وَمِيُّ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبَثُونَ. That is called Barzakh. Cape Town, you go, Indian Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, partition, bainahuma barzakhun. Barzakh, barzakhun, partition. So between dunya, the world, and akhirat, the year after, this is custody. So that is the partition, barzakh. So Mufti Sahib will explain all that, inshallah. And then tomorrow, inshallah, 4 o'clock, Mohana Arafat and Brother Junaid Khan and Brother Riyaz Hussain, all will be here. I'll be starting program, inshallah, around 5:25 tomorrow morning.
Ameen.
Make dua for us and the Ummah at large. And inshallah, Brother Lukolo will prepare the podcast. We will send it out to you, inshallah. Go to Telegram, go to Twitter, and inshallah, Salahuddin will send it out to the groups, inshallah.
Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. 3 minutes after 10, we say Jazakumullah khairan to our beloved senior Ustad, and of course, to all the listeners of Sirius FM, Al Ansar International, Merkaz Sahaba, and of course, to our two engineers. We see the listeners, inshallah, tomorrow morning, same time, same place. Up next, the Golden Voice, Hafiz Kalasahi from Newcastle. Thereafter, our beloved Hazrat Malana Mufti Taqi Uthmani, and the lecture is Alame Barzakh. That's it. Am I right to start? Yeah. Alame Barzakh. G. From myself and all of you out there, inshallah, Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ahdina sa jami'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.